On Country Life, Friday mornings are busy, ringing around the country to get the latest from farmers, growers and consultants. Well, there are a few we've been calling for 20 years, and they still seem to happily pick up the phone. John Wilton is one of them. He's based in Hawke's Bay and has devoted 57 years to helping growers prosper. Carol paid him a visit recently.
It was 1958 when John Wilton started studying for a Bachelor of Agricultural Science and Horticulture at Lincoln College, as it was then. And ever since, he's chosen to work mainly with apples, pears and stone fruit.
I like eating fruit, and still do. I have an apple every morning, first thing I have when I get up.
For 15 years, John was MAF's national specialist in pip fruit and summer fruit. And not only have New Zealand growers and their bank accounts benefited from his knowledge, he's also shared his expertise with orchardists in the UK, North and South America, South Africa and Australia. But today, we're a lot closer to home. So we're in an orchard just outside of Hastings, and there's trees of all different ages here.
That's correct.
Is that typical of most orchards?
That's typical of most older orchards.
So these ones, how old are these?
Looking at them, I'd say that they were probably planted in the early 90s.
Which makes them what?
25 odd years.
And they're still as productive as ever?
Yes, they're producing more fruit now than they've ever produced before.
You're telling me earlier that some academics will tell you that a tree has a life of about 15 years.
Yes, well, you don't need to believe academics.
Seems as if about a dozen years have got to go by before your young trees, from the time they're planted, start carrying a fully worthwhile commercial crop. Did you know some apple trees getting on in life, say about 40 years old, you know, they get what we call...
All the trees in this orchard are planted on rootstock, so no apple tree grows on its own root commercially.
That's correct.
And why is that? Does that sort of give them a better start, more vigour?
Well, first of all, it gives you uniformity from one tree to the next. Secondly, it gives you some control of vigour. If you imagine having this Rorcala thing on its own roots, you'd probably be in the timber business.
John says there's debate about what the ideal apple tree actually looks like, but for him, it's about 3.5 metres tall and is planted 1.5 to 2 metres away from the next tree in the row. He says there are now 3 or 4 times the number of trees per hectare compared with when he first started working.
The highest performing orchards in New Zealand have 1,500 trees through to about 1,905 trees per hectare. There's a lot of interest now in going for two-dimensional trees. So you take off anything substantial that's coming out
into the row.
Yep. Then you've got all the fruit here more or less in the same plane.
And that makes them easier to pick.
That is supposed to make them easier to pick.
Now, you've seen an automated picker in action, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, how did that go?
Well, the RSEs won't need to worry about their jobs for a long time yet.
You think that it's not quite where it needs to be?
It's got to have a lot of development yet.
Picking begins in January and ends about May. And the different kind of apples come in turn like this. First in January, Gravensteins, Cox's Orange, Cleopatra's, Jonathan, and Delicious, Sturmer, Granny Smith's. Then Doherty's, they end the season in May.
When John started his career, the dominant apple variety was Sturmer. Granny Smith's, Red Delicious and Golden Delicious were also popular.
Most of the apples that we were actually farming at that time had been planted prior to the First World War.
Oh, the change has been exponential,
yes.
Hasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. And so now what's the top dog, Rorcala?
Rorcala is now our top variety. It's recently overtaken Braeburn.
Today, the most profitable varieties to grow are the ones that are tightly controlled, like the tiny Rocket Apple, Pacific Queen and Envy.
It's a license to print money.
When you talk about a licensed variety, that is when you have to pay a royalty to plant the tree. So how much might it cost you for that plant royalty per tree?
Well, it's usually in the vicinity of about $2.50. And then there might be a royalty on the rootstock too. It takes, say, Envy or Rocket. The people that own the variety will determine how much they want planted. And that's to control the volume that's coming onto the market.
John says early in his career, growers had only just started grassing down their orchards, which he says has been hugely beneficial for soil erosion, soil quality and fertility. Then came significant developments in the use of herbicides and pesticides.
Red spider, he said, black spot, codlin moth, leaf hopper, leaf roller. In short, just about every blessed thing except the Africa core. All the blessed hosts of things that suck or chew or bore or burrow or blight. Or...
And so we really moved from an intensive spraying, kill anything that moves approach to what is really an integrated program where we're trying to work with nature, but we still haven't swallowed the story that we can do away with chemical sprays altogether. That's not the correct way to go. In fact, the organic movement uses a huge amount of lime sulfur, and I'm sure that if that came up for registration today, it wouldn't get registration.
And why wouldn't it be registered?
It's too damaging to the health.
Human health?
Yes.
Several generations of chemical thinners have been developed in the past 50 years. Chemical thinners are sprays that cause the trees to drop some of their apples so the tree can comfortably grow its crop.
A really good chemical thinning job, we want to bring it down to about 20% above what we want to carry. And if you're brave enough, we've now got the tools to do that. Growing systems continue to evolve too, although they've become rather fashionable.
Yes, things have come in and out of fashion a lot, haven't they, with
apples? That's correct. And that's in the varieties as well as the growing systems.
Yeah, things are fashionable overseas. You know, green apples used to be the fashion and now they're not, or are they?
Well, green apples are making a comeback. Granny Smith is stacking up quite well now, as long as you can figure out how to get them in a box.
Because they bruise quite easily.
They bruise easily. They sunburn easily. And some idiot told the market they had to be green, so they now want them all green. So a little bit of yellowing, a little bit of sun tinting means they're a reject. But they are making a comeback. And the reason for that is that the supermarkets want to have a display, and they want some green apples to go with it. And the other reason for it is that traditionally, particularly in South America, their main variety was Red Delicious, and they used to plant 4 rows of reds, 2 rows of grannies. And in recent years, they've been moving out of the Red Delicious business, and as they pull these old blocks out, the grannies go too.
Ah, so there's a worldwide shortage.
So we're starting to get a bit of a shortage.
In the Wellington Town Hall this week was held the first national packing competition, which was sponsored by the New Zealand Fruit Growers Federation and the Apple and Pear Marketing Board. And here are the 6 finalists to introduce themselves.
I'm Mrs. Pam Murray of Tahuna Nelson.
Dick Parrott from Hastings.
I'm Mrs. Hill of Mapua Nelson.
Richard Dawson, Ruby Bay Nelson.
Morris Cartwright, Hastings, Sunny Hawke's Bay.
McIntyre, Otago.
And after a few short preliminaries, the contest was underway.
And there they go, the hens sneaking out in either direction, grasping apples and tissues, and in a twinkling of an eye, they seem to be molded together and pressed firmly, but not too firmly, into the corner of the case. Quick, supple movements of wrists make me think instinctively of the poi dance. Well, already 5, or possibly more, about 6 or 7 apples have been packed already. And there's little to choose between them. What do you think, Fred? Very little to choose between them.
Now, and growers, how have they changed over the years?
Well, we have seen corporatisation, and that's probably the big change. The family orchard is becoming an endangered species. I guess that's another myth out there. Everyone thinks you've got to be large to succeed.
So some of the family orchards are doing very well?
Oh, yes. I wouldn't like to pay the tax bills of the next guy we're going to go and see.
Growers have had to cope with a lot of changes, haven't they? Because there was deregulation, and now there are a lot of marketers of apples, whereas there used to just be one.
I'm pretty certain that We wouldn't have had an apple industry if we hadn't got rid of that lot.
Why?
Much more innovation. Most of the people that are selling it now have a financial stake in the product, and they've sort of been working in niche markets. Well, I mean, when I first started doing overseas consultancy, my overseas clients were actually selling, and their highest returns were coming from the grades and sizes that we were dumping, simply because the volumes weren't high enough for apple and pear board salesmen to worry about them.
There was also a time when New Zealand was caught with 70% of its crop in Reds and Granny Smiths when prices for those varieties crashed.
In 1977, I think it was, we had the famous Massey Report, which reported on the viability of the industry. And their conclusion was the industry had no future. And it went from making a huge loss that particular year straight into making profits. In fact, I was at that conference when they presented that, and I was sitting next to our economist, and we worked out that there would be a huge price increase because they just had a big frost in Europe, and we knew that that would have a huge impact on prices, which it did. And so I think in the year following, the industry made as much profit in that one year that it had ever made since the apple and pear board had been set up.
All I can say is that New Zealand apples are really masterpieces when they go overseas. No shoddy stuff allowed whatsoever.
You're very much at the mercy of what's going on around the world, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah. And you've also got to remember that what happens is that prices go up and down, and as long as you're on top of the heap, you'll probably be okay. And that's where the New Zealand industry is at the moment.
And when you say we're on top of the heap, is that because we demand a premium?
That's correct. Also, about 50% of what we grow now is IP protected. So it's trademarked. And if you've got something that's trademarked, as long as you maintain your quality standards, you'll always be able to sell it at a premium. You've moved out of the ordinary bread market into the Vogel's bread market.
Now, the number of growers has plummeted, hasn't it?
That's right. I think we used to have several thousand pit fruit growers 20 or 30 years ago. And I think we're probably down to about 300 today.
In Hawke's Bay?
No, nationally.
Orchard size has grown.
We're growing the similar crops now on about 9,000 hectares of what we used to grow on 15,000 hectares. So there has been a huge increase in productivity. If they grow gala types, production has gone up by 2% a year for the last 15 years. So we've had a 30% increase in productivity. That's on a per hectare basis.
John says the other thing that's helped the New Zealand apple industry is that we've had a big change in post-harvest techniques. We've learned how to store apples better.
So that the consumer is getting a product now that is light years ahead of the thing they were getting 20 years ago. That's giving us a big margin in the market compared to our competitors, the Northern Hemisphere producers.
When ours appear in those markets and the others are sort of 8 months old, it must give people a real, I don't know, taste sensation.
That's right. And the other thing that we're doing is that we're using these new storage techniques to leave the apple on the tree a bit longer than they would. And so it's had time to develop its true flavour. And then we zap it and stabilise it at that stage, which means that they're getting an apple which was picked at a more mature stage than you would for 12-month storage. And so they're getting a much better product all around.
He says New Zealand uses a gas called Smart Fresh, which blocks the production of ethylene and halts the ripening process.
We've been using that now for probably 10 to 12 years. Everyone forecast when it turned up on the market that that would be the finish of it. But it really made us. In fact, have you ever tried to ripen kiwi fruit lately?
Oh, by sticking an apple in?
Yeah.
It doesn't work?
No. You want to be sure that you're going to ripen your kiwi fruit with an apple. You make sure you buy an organic apple. Because most of the conventional ones have had Smart Fresh, which means they're not putting off much in the way of ethylene.
Can you remember a variety that was an absolute trial to grow?
We got one right near that we just walked past recently, Fuji. That's probably one of the most difficult varieties we've got. First of all, the original Fuji's had real problems with colour. It's a large fruit. Theoretically, it should give you high tonnage, but it doesn't. It's the most difficult variety we grow at the moment in terms of getting it to perform. The other variety that was pretty difficult to deal with were some of the early releases from the plant food program, things like Pacific Rose. In fact, one of my Nelson clients used to call it Pacific Dog. So I claim it bought my first BMW, sorting it out. And there's another one that the Americans are very keen on at the moment that makes growing Pacific Rose like a walk in the park. And that's the one that they call Honeycrisp.
What's been a doddle?
This thing.
Roorgana.
For the average New Zealand apple grower, he's probably made more money per hectare out of Roorgana when he looks at the total picture of costs and returns than any other thing he grows.
The old problem remains as bad as ever. The thorny old question of helpers and workers for the picking season in orchard and grading and packing shed. The whole of your year's work and plans and hopes can hang in the balance here. Can we get enough helpers in the big rush from March to April? That's a real worry year in, year out.
There have also been changes in the labour force. In John's early years in the industry, a lot of apple pickers were housewives. Now, thousands of workers from the Pacific come in to get the national crop off the trees.
If we hadn't got that system off the ground, we would be in. You wouldn't see the orchard expansion we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years. Because availability of quality labour is probably the biggest problem the industry's facing. We just can't get the local New Zealand population that don't have good jobs to work.
John says you need to be fit to pick apples and strong.
Well, some of the RSE people we get now, they're often picking somewhere around 6 to 8 bins a day.
And what would that be in weight?
That would be, well, there's about 400 kilos a bin.
2.5 tonnes.
2.5 tonnes. Where if you employ a local New Zealander off the street, you're lucky to get a tonne out of him. And he'll only do that for a couple of days and then disappear.
Do you still get excited when you hear about new varieties that are coming on stream?
Oh, not particularly. I think the new variety people are going to have tremendous problems.
Why?
The world is flooded with them. And so I think a lot of them are going to have some difficulty in finding a future.
New Zealand apples must stack up pretty well, though, on the international stage.
They do. And one of the reasons for that is that we've been going more for eating quality, whereas a lot of the offshore breeding programs are looking for resistance.
Resistance to various pests and diseases.
Yes. And if you take that far enough, you're going to find the resistance to the ultimate pest, which is us.
John Wilton from AgFirst in Hastings. And earlier this month, a new variety of apple called Cosmic Crisp hit the market in the US. Apparently, it has an ultra-long shelf life and will keep for a year in the fridge.
Sounds like an awfully long time.
Yes, and New Zealand's apple exports are worth a trifling $733 million. By the way, the archival audio for this story came from 1950s radio programs and was supplied by Ngā Tāonga Sound and Vision.